It's being recorded, Rabbi. Make sure.
That's me, Kirk, now stand up here.
You have to send those rules.
What?
I'm definitely not used to standing up in the front of in front of a chashuv audience. That's for sure. I don't generally speak publicly b'chlal, so we'll start with that. I'm not a public speaker. So this first of all, I'd like to thank the Kolo for the opportunity. Pushing it a lot. First of all, I'd like to thank the Kolo for the opportunity. Just a second ago, I don't generally speak publicly. This is not my cup of tea. Standing up here is definitely not what I would do if I was going to give a much smaller audience. It's not sitting around a table that I think I could probably deal with. This is definitely not my standard activity. That being said, I'd like to thank Roy Provalsky because I was working on this particular tshuva just because I had been into a beer place and the shiloh came up and I didn't know anything about beers before that, and there was one ingredient which I thought was interesting, which ended up, I spoke to somebody who actually does make beer at home, and he said, oh, it's a famous tshuva. So he told me who it was. Baruch Hashem, with the invention of the internet, finding things in Svarim that I haven't opened before is relatively simple. You type in beer and no de bihuda, and you come up with where it's located. Baruch Hashem. So that being said, because the call asked me to speak, I actually finished learning through, or attempted to finish learning through the piece. It turns out that this particular piece in no de bihuda is 15 pages long. And unlike the rest of the pieces around it, which are all half a page, a quarter of a page, this one is 15 pages long. It's a long arichus about the topic. Apparently, he wanted to matter beer. Specifically, he was talking about mead, not beer. But that's approximately the same thing. Mead. Mead is honey beer. It's similar to beer, but it's made with honey.
It's made out of, it's fermented honey?
Yeah.
It doesn't have hops or
wheat
or anything.
Okay, so that being said, let's start. Beer in general has not that many ingredients. The standard ingredients that go into beer are some kind of grain, which is processed, and water, hops, and yeast. That's the standard ingredients for beer. Almost every beer, exactly the same process, depending on the length of time of different parts of the process. That's the only nafkamina in beer. I said grain. It could be theoretically any grain. Beer could be made, it's really maybe called ale, or maybe called, there are different shemos for different things, but beer basically is a malted grain, malted grain. A malted grain is a grain, any one of the grains. Basically what they do first is they soak it in water until it starts growing, until it sprouts. Then they introduce it to high heat to dry it out. And that process basically breaks up the starch in the grain and the seed. It breaks it up into sugars. Therefore, it releases the sugars. The second process which they do to the beer is that a lot of the smaller beer companies actually buy their grains pre-malted. There are places that just malt the grains. So you can buy 50-pound sacks, 100-pound sacks of pre-malted grains. In a brewery, what they do next is they take they put it through a mill, they grind it, or partially grind it, then they add water to it, and they boil it up. The end result looks sort of like oatmeal that you'd have at home. They boil it for a period of time, stopping the process during the way, during the process of heating it up, they stop the process a number of times and let it sit so that different of the enzymes could break down the starches into sugars. The objective is to end up with a much more sweet thing, so there's more sugar that the yeast could actually eat.
When does the alcohol come in?
Alcohol does not add it. The alcohol is the same. Then it goes from, at that point, it goes from a malted grain. This mush is called a wort. That's what they call it. They take this, they put it into the actual brewer. They add more water and they boil it up to and then they take that and they add more water and they introduce the yeast. The yeast then eats the sugar and produces alcohol and carbon dioxide. Thus theoretically the bubbles.
How does this oatmeal consistency
turns to that? I'm saying that they filter out all the grains. They filter that out first.
What about the hops?
The hops are introduced during, I think, the brewing stage. You know, in the big brewer, they introduce the hops. That's added just as a flavoring.
Hops are a plant.
Hops are a plant. So all the ingredients that stated as such are benign. There's nothing in any of this processing that would require hashgacha whatsoever. Assuming that everything remained exactly as described, it would be a simple process. And just as, by the way, the reality is that in the bottling process, b'derech klal it loses carbon dioxide, and they have to either add it back in directly, just adding CO2, or they add a little extra yeast at the end in the bottle, and they let it ferment again. Yeast and a little bit more sugar, so they let it ferment in the bottle. There are two options that I've seen. That being said, there are other parts of the process which sometimes are done to give you a final product that looks the way it does on the shelf. First of all, one of the things that needs to be looked at is that they add a anti-foaming agent at different points in time, which theoretically might need hashgacha. I've heard that b'derech klal is certainly bottled because they add drops of it into the top as it foams up. They add a little bit just to settle the foam. It's bottled far more than shisha.
While they're foaming it to different stuff?
No, during the boiling process. It foams up too much and sometimes it explodes out. So it ends up with stuff. Depends on which one they're using. The company that I saw is called Warflock. There's a half a dozen different. It's possible. I saw in a different company somebody using glycerin as an anti-foaming agent. The pig fat I've heard of being used in the processing of what do you call it, of syrups. I've never heard of anybody using it in beer, but
anything. Is that a problem?
We'll get there. Right now we're discussing the problems. We're not. This is not what the Nobu was talking about. There is another part, another factor that was involved. That if you look at the beer without playing with it, initially as it comes out, it's relatively hazy. You look at the beers you get on the shelf; they're relatively clear. So there are two options, basically, three options for getting rid of the haze in a beer. Option one is time. If you leave it for long enough, everything settles to the bottom, and they either pull it off the top, or most of the things that they leave it in are conical at the bottom, and all the stuff, all the junk settles to the bottom, and they drop it out the bottom. That's option one. Option two is that they use some kind of filtration process. Most larger companies do that. Option three is what the Nobu was talking about. It's a little more complicated. There is a thing called isinglass, which is a dried swim bladder of a fish. A swim bladder is basically something inside the fish which enables it to provide its buoyancy. To modify its buoyancy by having an air bladder inside the fish. So they take one of these things and they dry it out, and basically it acts sort of like gelatin. What they do is they sprinkle it across the top of the beer, and it causes all of the particles to collect to it, and then it falls to the bottom much faster. What? Apple juice, they use, they don't use isinglass, they use gelatin, which is, we might get to if we have time. I haven't done enough research on that yet. But yes, it is used, and the same heter is discussed. That's an interesting problem. Okay.
How do you use that to make it
that? They dry it out until it's bone dry. Literally, like mama's dry, and they, I believe they grind it up. It comes into some places in pill form, and they stick it
into the beer and mix it
not up. Directly. They put it into a liquid, they mix it around, and they dump it into the beer.
And that's the Trafer thing.
That historically that came from sturgeon.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Sturgeon is a kosher fish.
Non-kosher fish.
So these are large corporations.
The answer to that is, I believe, from what I ran online, Guinness uses it. So, Bederach Klal, most the people I spoke to in kosher agencies, the place they've gone into, have never seen it in use. However, from what I've seen online, Guinness uses it. It will be, from what I understand, I just spoke to somebody who makes beer. He said that there's a new rule that the USDA came out with, that the beers are going to be required to spell out everything they put into it. Even though this is really called a processing agent and not really an ingredient, that shouldn't theoretically come on an ingredient label. I think that the Badavka wanted this to come on there. This was part of the vegan people are hawking the China because it's not vegan friendly. Okay, be that as it may. So the problem is that we're now potentially introducing a treif item into the beer. it's a bottle, possibly Aleph, but that doesn't mean you can necessarily do it. So there are two. The issue that another Yehuda was dealing with was actually having a Jewish person make it. Besides the possibility of drinking it afterwards, or relying on doing it l'chatchila for yourself. So that would be a potential issue. The original person he was quoting had two svaris l'hatir. So he says, Yesh rosin l'hatir mitam delo shayachem mevatlanis l'chatchila ela im kavanos l'vatl. And the other svara was that Yesh Rotzin L'Hatir Mitam Shekvarnas Yavish. There are two svaras he initially plays with as potential svaras to matir it, which he throws out of the very shortly after he introduces them, is that it's Nisyavish, and therefore it's not a problem. And the second svara, which he eventually uses with half a dozen other svaras, is that the kavana is not to be mevatel. The kavana is to actually just use it as a clarifying agent.
Can you explain what nisavish should be a hetar?
It's not really the achila. The thing is, it's pegam. The issue became pegam. The pegam's what? It's dried up. It's no longer edible. It's pagam. It's disgusting. It's pagam. So therefore, it's
not dried out. It tastes good.
Never having tasted it, I don't think he tasted it either. I suspect. So therefore, he doesn't know.
The pshat and the shavish makes it that
it's pagam. So the original assumption was that it was just nois and tam of pagam, and therefore that's what he thought that they were playing with. He ends up using it slightly differently. I'm going to read to you his bottom line. He throws in a number of svaras. We'll try to go through some of the svaras.
Is it additive, or you're actually still?
So the end result of the process is that it, because it's at least from what I understand, it's ionically charged. it's a, I remember whether it's positive or negative, all of the other schmutz in the beer, that we're talking about after they already sifted it, after this, we're actually not talking about the leftover grain, because that was already filtered out originally. But we're talking about the yeast and some other particles that are in there, some proteins that are left behind, which give the beer a hazy look. So those things apparently are either negatively or positively charged. They get attracted to the isinglass or other clarifying agents which are potentially usable, and they therefore become bigger particles and settle to the bottom faster.
But they stay there.
They settle to the bottom of the beer. And they go to the bottom.
Those are bigger particles.
At the end. At the end, this whole thing is dropped out. Is dropped out the bottom of the thing. Tom.
Oh, it's hot and it's cooking.
What I'm saying is it covers for days. Yes, the issue is that this thing will sit in this thing for a couple days after they do that. It shortens the process from a week to a day or two. But it doesn't. It still sits in there for a couple of days. Okay, so I just go read through his final bottom line. He goes through. He throws in a dozen svaras why it's mutter, and we'll try to go through some of them in slightly more detail. Mayata. Negaviv achas laachas. I'm going to join up all of the svaras together. Kala kulos sheyesh lanu l'sarif elu. He calls it the Hosenblasen, which is the Yiddish word or German word for isinglass. I only found that out after once again Google. So the echad shayadei ayivush vaday batal mitaras ochal l'inyan tuma. Is it? The drying process makes it completely inedible. So legabe tuma, it's definitely no longer considered ochel. So in terms of, he goes through in the beginning. He goes through in terms of hilchos tuma, tumas ochlin would if it started off as being usser or being tame, as tame already, if it's no longer ochlin, it loses the status of tuma. So depending on how no longer edible it is, it will depend on the madrega he's talking about, but this is for sure gabe tuma. He says this process of drying it out removes it from the Taurus Ochlin. He says the same thing will be true gabe Isser, at least according to the Mam Diyamar, who holds that you learn Isser from tuma, which we'll see if we can get to that in a little bit. Even the Man Yomer who holds you can't learn out Tumah from Isser, he says that's only a Chumrah. And here, based on other svaras, he says you should go Lahakel. Ella, he says, however, that Kati ain Roy Lasos Kain Lachatchila. You shouldn't do this Lachatchila. Lachatchila Yesh Lachosh the Divrei Machmir the Lolelev Isser Mitumah. However, the issue is also that they're only trying to be mevatel it. Is going to end up being batel. So therefore, you're now talking about a derabanan of iser mevatel iser lechatchila on the potential the chumer derabanan of not learning out iser from tumah. There's another story. It says that tzir dogim, the liquid that comes out of soaking fish, he says is also only derabana. He says that's not 100% according to everybody, but he says that he believes that's true, at least certainly by kavash. So that's his next step. His next step is that midrabanan that tzir dogim is only derabanan. And his last step is that kavush, which is the only reason why you may have any tam left in here at all, because the actual product actually goes down to the bottom and is removed. So the only issue would be that the tam remains in the thing, which is a tam which is going to be batal anyway. The only issue is the tam that remains in there, and that he says that he believes that kavush doesn't always apply to everything. As tam kavush doesn't apply to everything. He says bishul might be different, but kavush doesn't really apply to everything. So therefore, even though he says that the kavush is brought down in Mishnayos that kavush does apply to fish, he says maybe that's not all forms of fish. So there's another svara to be matir is that maybe there's no din of kavush here b'chlal. Therefore, based on all those svaras, he wants to be matir in the end. I just wanted to go through some of those svaras a little more in detail. Because interestingly, these svaras are used l'maisa, and some of them some people only rely on it if you have all of them. All right, so he talks about different levels of pagam, different levels of nos and tam lefgam. He says that there are different levels of nos and tam lefgam. He says if it's just becomes pagam that's not inedible for a human, so then even in terms of tumah, that wouldn't help if it was already usser. If it was already tame, it wouldn't help the situation any. Only if it became that way before the isser sets in. But if it's already usser, you wouldn't be able to use that. He says, however, something which is pagam, which is no longer edible for even a kelev, that's nifsa me'ochel completely, and therefore he says that for sure everybody agrees that's by tumah, even if it was tumah already and it was usser to start off with, everybody would agree that if nifsa me'achilas kelev it's out of the Torah's achila. He says, therefore, this process, which is completely dry, is mamish bone dry. It starts off with something which is a thin bladder. There's not really much there to start off with. It's just our doc, he calls it, and it's completely dried out. It's, at that point, it's no longer edible at all. He says, the only question is that lamaisa afterwards, you're re-soaking it, and it becomes wet again. He says, by tumah for sure, once it was nifsad me'achila, it was no longer edible b'chlal, it's no longer ochel, and then whatever you do with it afterwards doesn't matter. He says, the only shayla is, can you apply that from dinei tumah to dinei iser?
So you could freeze-dry McDonald's and eat it?
Yes, freeze-dry, I don't think it becomes inedible by freeze-drying it.
It's totally loses all moisture, no?
I was like, I don't know that becomes inedible.
If you could make it non-edible.
If it was nifsa mi'achilas kelev, then maybe you could. I'm saying if the process leaves you with something that's nifsa mi'achilas kelev.
This thing, by drying. No, but the only thing is, according to this whole shiloh, it's already tame, it's already problem, that's only going to be the gaya.
I don't remember him bringing that up. You're saying this because you're not actually eating it. You're eating the only issue is the tam that's going to come out of it.
And the tam is
pogam. Tam is pogam. So unless you say the tam why is pogam? Because if it's nifl machilas, so it's nifl machilas. So tam is bad.
Tam is
not
problem. Once you put water in it, it's good again.
saying for so he's not going with that. The Shach said, one second.
Is this going to get to other ingredients also? Gelatin.
Gelatin in apple juice.
Gelatin?
In apple juice. Gelatin is used to clarify apple juice. They discuss the same svar by gelatin, which I, so some of the svaras wouldn't apply. Sir Duggam doesn't apply there. He says, he quotes the Shach. He says the Shach is machmir not to learn Isser from Tumah. However, he says that that's only if the potential Isser is an Isser deraisa. But the potential Isser here is only an Isser derabanan to start out with, of being vatal Isser chatchila, and therefore you never, it's never going to come to a potential Isser deraisa, and therefore he says that even the Shach he thinks would be ma to this case. He then discusses Sir Duggan. There's machlokas between the Shach and the Nevi Yehuda in this case. He says Sir Duggan, the Shach claims that the only Sir Duggan Aide Malicha is the Rabbanan, but not Kavush and Bishol. Saying he holds Kavush and Bishol are Deraisa. And the Shach claims that on this, he argues in that he says that he brings Kama Raya's that by Kavush is for sure not a problem. By Bishol, he says it's possible that it is a problem. Interesting that there are those that are machad between if something is going to be used in Bishol or not. I saw it Lagabe. What should we call it? Wouldn't apply it to your Duggam, so I'm not sure why that's true. I saw that on the OK's website, they're discussing gelatin used to clarify apple juice, specifically, and they discuss the nafkamino. One thing is that their line is that one reason you have to have a hashgacha on apple juice is because some of the companies use gelatin to clarify, and you have to be careful that they don't heat it up before the gelatin is removed. So it sounds like they're being machalic between Kavush and Bishol.
Where does this gelatin come from?
Gelatin is the same effect.
Where does it come from?
Gelatin comes from the bones and skin, and anything which will cause something to gel up. If you make pcha, that's gelatin.
Maybe it doesn't sit long with the apple juice enough to be kavush.
It wasn't mashed for that way, but I don't know. I know that in beer it takes a couple of days. I assume
is it same issue with glycerin? Is that the same thing?
I don't know what they use glycerin for. Glycerin makes things smoother. I don't know if the gelatin might do the same. May have the same problem. But this is being used as a clarifying agent. I'm not sure what they would use glycerin for.
Over here, they're using gelatin to soak up the various
the cloudiness. You want your product to look pretty on the shelf. that's the idea. You don't want there's proteins that float in there and things like that that they want to settle out to the bottom. The gelatin itself is nisyavish after they make it into gelatin. So I don't know. It's also soaked in all kinds of in lye for a while, but that, I don't know why that. I'll read to you Moshe afterwards. Moshe says that gelatin is either asur darabanan or only suffic isur. That may be what they're relying on. I don't know. Okay. The next thing he discusses is in terms of whether kavush is kemavushal or not. So he quotes machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel says that kavush is kemavushal, and meliach is kiroseach. Rabbi Yochanan in the name B'Shem Ravin holds that it's not. That not it seems possibly neither one is true. Abaya says that Ravin was wrong. That's the starting point. That Ravin was mistaken about Rabbi Yochanan. So there's machlokus between whether or not Meliach is Kuroseach and whether Kavush is Kuvushal. And Rabbi Yochanan is the Matir. We generally pass like Rabbi Yochanan over Shmuel. However, it seems like that Abaya claims Rabbi Yochanan never said that. So Abaya's statement, though, was only in terms of Meliach, not in terms of. His statement was not about Kavush. So therefore, he says the Rabbi Yochanan would say that Kavush is at least like he ends up saying that Rabbi Yochanan would say that Kavush is at least like is at least as strong as Melicha, which would mean that it would get it would be no sin tam to as far as a klipa. So one is basically he ends up saying that legabe Kavush. You would agree that the kavush at least as the koach of malicha, or so he says, and therefore we pass like a biyochanan in a case of a safek or a case of darbanan, you go like a biyochanan because it's a safek whether biyochanan said it. Legabe kavush is a safek whether biyochanan said it, but even if biyochanan, even if you say he didn't say it, he would hold that by malicha that kavush should have the same effect as malicha. So he's saying you should machmir that has an effect of malicha, and therefore it's noticing tam up to a klipa. So, but therefore, when putting this in, it certainly will never have enough tam to do anything. It's going to be we bottle mekuli alma all the time. Therefore, he wants to say that legavi this, it would be ki'ilu you put the is ki'ilu you have a kli which is mishtamish constantly berevach. There's never going to ever be a chance that you're going to have tam in there. What do we got as far as? His last far, which he's arguing with everybody on, is that whether kavush affects everything. If you hold of kavush, does it affect everything to start off with? He argues with the whole world on that. And he basically starts up with the whole world, and he ends up saying that maybe it doesn't affect chlal affect everything. It was just there's another sniff to be matter. He wants to say that in this case it wouldn't because it's only kavush. And you don't know whether it affects this is another suffix. Adding, tacking on another suffix as to whether you can rely on this to matir it. So just one last step is that this, although he throws the Behuda actually ends up being matir, he says that, you know, Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, and even though they're not Nevi'im, they're B'nei Nevi'im. And after 15 pages of back and forth, he ends up wanting to say that it's mutter. However, the minug, it seems, of kashrus agencies is that we will not give ashkacha on stuff that uses a beer that has isinglass in it. However, people that I've spoken to all say that it's okay to drink it anyway. I'm not sure. they're relying on another Behuda. To say that it's mutter, or mutter, or maybe they once it's bottled, and they're not doing it for you, so therefore at the very least it's bottled at the end. And I'm like, could you give ashkacha on it? They wouldn't give ashkacha on it.
So is there any
kashrus
concern at the end of the day with any brand?
So the answer is as follows. As I heard Moshe Rebelsky, that the the OU actually is machalic between isinglass and gelatin as a clarifier. They won't give ashgacha on something that uses isinglass, and they do give ashgacha on things that use gelatin.
Why is that?
It seems, from what I understand, he's heard that people use isinglass, or one of the uses of using isinglass in beer is to regulate the flavor. As you want to have the large beer companies want to have every batch come out the same. So if, in order to get every batch to come out the same, you want to regulate the amount of flavors that are in there. So apparently this. Clarifying agents, it seems, have the not only do they take out dirt, but they also take out flavor. So therefore, he says that being that it does potentially affect the flavor, he's choshish that maybe it does. It is a problem. So he says that therefore isinglass, he's convinced that he should not. He was saying that based on what he's saying, I would say that probably shouldn't. He would probably tell you shouldn't drink it either.
Are there trafe beers?
So that's a whole different discussion. There are trafe beers, stam trafe beers, but that's because there are flavorants in there. There are flavored beers out there.
But regular beers.
So all of the people that I've seen, the CRC and the Star K and the OU, all on their statements, if you ask them about beer, they'll tell you any non-flavored beer is mutter to drink. I don't know what Rybelski personally would hold, but I know that they say all non-flavored beers are mutter to drink. They do say that beers that come from a craft brewery or smaller, you should not buy without Ashgacha. Because craft breweries can sometimes use other ingredients, that they may make a flavored beer once, and the entire process is hot. Whereas it's all processed, the whole mash goes through a boiling process, and then after the mash after they add the hops, it goes through another boiling process. So they add the flavors before they boil it. So it's a hot process. So if they use trafe once, we're in trouble. A craft brewery is a small-sized brewery. The people who run these craft breweries play with it. Today they do one thing, tomorrow they do something else. What you walk in there and you see today, Lav Dafka is what they had on the shelf yesterday.
To
remove flavor, it has an effect on the flavor, and I don't. Rybelski wasn't willing to take a stand on the fact that it was. Just a removal effect.
So that changes.
So if it's having an effect on the tom, so even though it's bottled in theory by more than shishin, but it's affecting the tom. So the tom is there. That's what I tie it to him. I tie it. Listen to me. It seems from when I've read that it's removing tom, not adding tom. He says you have to prove that. That was his tying it back.
Is there a difference? Buying a can of beer or going to a bar?
No, not that I know about. Beer is beer. If it's plain beer is beer. But I was saying there's a difference between a large size brewery and a small size brewery as to whether they're making. Although a couple of years ago there was a large size brewery that was making a Clamato beer, famous Big Shiloh. There was one, I think it was Budweiser, made a Clamato beer. They made beer with lime and they made a Clamato beer. And the Clamato beer was being pasteurized in the same line as the regular beer. Clamato is clam tomato juice. So it was, and they were adding that to beer. It turns out that I believe, from what I understood from my cone, it would actually have been mutter to drink the Clamato beer. But because it was bottled with shishim before it even got into the Clamato mixture. And the Clamato mixture is then bottled with shishim in the beer, and it was a Clamato problem. But there was a huge tumult about it a couple of years ago. So even in the non small breweries, they have experimented with flavored beers. Beer with lime does exist. Any flavored beers you should not buy, unless it's got ashgach on it, which means somebody's going in there to make sure everything's good. That's the basic story. What? If it doesn't have ashgach, I would not buy it. I don't know what the lime is. Lime is lime, or lime is or lime is some added flavoring. What? Sorry, or maybe both. Okay.